Have we forgotten the message of repentance in the Christian church? What is repentance? Have we comforted everyone to death? Stay tuned for Abounding Grace Radio.
Contending for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Today we continue our study in the book of Jonah, and we come to chapter 3 of this great book, where here we are dealing with the subject of repentance. It's a marvel. The entire city of Nineveh drops its knees, turns from its evil ways and violence, and calls out on the Lord, and the Lord turns from the disaster he said he would bring on them. All of this, of course, to shame Israel for not repenting. Jesus, of course, said that the people of Nineveh will rise up against in judgment against the people of his day because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and a greater than Jonah, dear listeners, preaching to you today. That is Jesus calling us all to repentance. Thanks today for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. We're thankful you take time out of your day to tune into the broadcast. Visit us on the web at agradio.org. agradio.org. The number's 888-504-8805. 888-504-8805. Find us on Facebook. We'd love to hear from you. Here is now part two of a message that we aired yesterday from Jonah chapter 3, which I've titled Repentance from the Heart. We're so grateful you tune in today to Abounding Grace Radio. Jonah is teaching Israel something. I think this is an interesting moment in teaching Israel a lot about the heart and obedience, isn't it? Has to be. A lot of people outwardly conform. They don't want to cross God. They know they should do what's right. So they do their best to outwardly conform and keep the law. But that's not necessarily translated to sincerity of heart, has it? That's not necessarily translated to genuine, wholehearted repentance, has it? It's not translated to a real humbling of oneself before God, has it? This is a really important emphasis, I believe, in this particular book to indict Israel through an episode of a lack of responding to God. That's what the purpose is. I love what Dr. Stell says. He wrote a little commentary in the book of Jonah, and there's some helpful things in there, and especially this. People, when they come to the book of Jonah, he says, is to say that the purpose is to rebuke Israel for a xenophobic hatred of non-Israelites. That's what he says is how typically you approach the book of Jonah. You beat up people because they're not mission-minded enough. That's the book you go to nail them with the Great Commission. He says, contrary to that, what's being rebuked, listen to this, is a lack of compliance on Israel's part to the prophetic preaching of God's word. That's a little bit like the bitterness that we heard about this morning, isn't it? The chosen nation had grown complacent in its own zeal for righteousness and holiness. End of quote. Absolutely. Absolutely. So Jonah's capturing this. He has no heart to do God's will. In fact, what he despises is that he has to do it. What does that create? Not a very joyful people, does it? A bitter people. Complaining people, thus Israel. And when the heart's finally exposed in the book, you see the worst kind of bitter, complaining spirit underneath all the facade of the outer obedience to God's word. You get there, and that's what you get. We find a servant of the Lord looking like this,
And you stop and you say, is that what God's after? It's an important question. It's the kind of blessing that he is after to give his people so that they would act and respond this way. Israel should have looked at Jonah as a parable and asked, is this what God is after? Is it? The whole book and Nineveh. What is God after? It begged the question, was repentance and what God was after with them, was it just about getting in line and outwardly keeping the commandments of the Lord apart from a genuine, wholehearted response to him in repentance and faith? It's really important because God talked to Israel a lot about this. We just sung out in that psalm, not the formal sacrifice has acceptance in thine eyes. We sing that. But a broken and contrite heart you will not despise. This is the emphasis in Scripture, isn't it? Think of Isaiah 1, beginning of the book. Ah, sinful nation, people laden with iniquity, offspring of evildoers, children who deal corruptly. They've forsaken the Lord. They've despised the Holy One of Israel. They're utterly estranged. Why will you be struck down? Why will you continue to rebel? Hear the word, you rulers of Sodom. Then you stop and say, who's he talking to? Israel. Hear the word, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What is to me the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I've had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of well-fed beasts. I don't delight in the blood of bulls, of lambs, or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who's required this trampling of my courts? Bring no more vain offerings. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and the calling of convocations. I cannot endure it. I'm tired of your worship services. It's a formal facade. That's what he's saying to them. It's a burden to me. I'm weary. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates. They become a burden. I'm weary of bearing them. And then comes this. Come now. Let's reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, I'll wash them. Though they're red like crimson, they'll become like wool. He was calling them to repentance. What did it look like? Is this repentance? What was God after? Such an important question that we should all know a lot about and think a lot about, because it's not a doctrine that's taught much in the church anymore. It's not something that's taken very seriously in the church anymore. It meant a lot to Jesus, for the first words of his prophetic ministry were, repent, repent. What was God after of a people just coming together who felt just to do the commandments of the Lord in formal sacrifice without love? What would it say to come up to the house of the Lord to worship, but people are worshiping with their lips whose hearts are far from God? What would that be? Is that what he's after? What would it really expose? You see, Israel should have been, when reading Jonah, saying, what's wrong with this prophet? He's mad at the mercy of the Lord to these people. You would think you'd stop and say, did Jonah think he deserved it more? Did he forget God's mercy to him? Did he not remember God didn't have to make him a prophet? Did Jonah forget in his own life the very gospel he was supposed to bring to Nineveh? Did Jonah not see what he deserved? Had Jonah really repented himself? And you can ask that question. See, we have the prophetic word which is spoken to us that calls us to repentance. When we hear that, do we say, well, that's for them? That's for the bad people out there. What does it look like? Israel should have known. Remember the story of the prodigal son? Prodigal son runs off, grabs the inheritance, and he's in the unclean pigsty, unclean, that's chosen on purpose by Jesus. And the son, when he saw that the father showed grace, the older son in the house, when he saw that the father showed grace to this younger, rebellious son, was furious, wasn't he? Here is what has always affected me about the story. The older son never left the house. The younger got out, and we could put it in our terms, got involved in pornography, got involved in homosexuality. You could go right down the list of the worst list of sins you could think of to get involved in and wreck your life. That was the younger son. The older son stayed in the house with the coat and tie on. He never appreciated his father. He never knew why he even needed it. Never loved him. All came out. That bitterness came out, didn't it? When that son, oldest, younger son, came home and God gave him grace. You see the story here in Jonah? It's right here. So what was God after? Well, you got the best example of it in Nineveh, in the Old Testament. You got one of the best examples of what God's after. Look at what happens here. It's really remarkable. Jonah goes to Nineveh, travels a long way, gets into the city. As soon as he gets in the city, he begins to proclaim, yet in 40 days, Nineveh is going to be overthrown. You read in verse 5, and the people of Nineveh believed God. You know, that's the very thing in Genesis 15 of what Paul says, Abraham was justified by faith because he believed God. Same thing. They believed. Nineveh believed God. It should stand out. It's a direct shot. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. The word even reached the king. And he got up from his throne. He took off his robe. He covered himself with sackcloth and went out in front of everyone, and he dumped ashes all over himself. And issues a proclamation throughout Nineveh. This got real solemn in the city of a million strong. By the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, eat anything. Not even the beasts can eat right now. Nobody's eating. Let them not feed or drink water. Let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way, from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows? God might turn and relent from this fierce anger so that we don't perish. That is just a remarkable moment in the book of Jonah, isn't it? All the words you got were, yet in 40 days, Nineveh will be overthrown. I'm sure he said more, but the point is for us to stand back and say, whoa, look at what just happened. They understood from the message of Jonah that there might be a chance for mercy here. And they felt the weight of it and thought, we're all done. We only have 40 days left. Has history ever seen this kind of repentance in a pagan city of this size? I doubt it. I doubt it. This is the biggest mass repentance in the Bible you get. We know how proud a king can be of a mighty city like this. This is the capital of the Assyrian Empire. You didn't mess with these people. For him to take off the royal robes, for him to proclaim a fast, not even let the animals eat, then produce mass turning to God who made the sea and the dry land. Israel, here's repentance. Let me show you. See it, Israel? Let me show you repentance. Here it is. Number one, what is it? They believed God. In other words, 40 days, judgment's coming. Well, that's proclaimed to us all the time. It's proclaimed to you this morning. Judgment's coming. Judgment day's coming. It's coming. They believed it. David said when he was convicted of his sin, listen, Lord, if you were to enter into judgment with me and you were to cast me to hell, you're just. You're just. Sorrow for sin, number two. Fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. You ever weep over your sins? It's the last time you've done it. Number three, turning. Notice that? Let everyone turn from his evil way, from the violence that is in his hand. Stop what we're doing. We need to stop what we're doing and turn to the Lord. And number four, call. They called on the Lord. This is what Paul said to the church in Corinth, you know, because you were grieved into repenting, you felt a godly grief so that you suffered no loss through us. For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret. Whereas worldly grief produces death. For we see what earnestness this godly grief has produced in you, but also what eagerness to clear yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what longing, what zeal, what punishment. Maybe this is just the point for just a minute here to listen to our Lord's Day tonight that I mentioned earlier, and just to read this to you. Listen to this for a minute. This is where we landed tonight in Lord's Day 33, page 45. What is involved in genuine repentance? That's the question. Or conversion. Two things. The dying away to the old self and the coming to life of the new. What is the dying away of the old self? Listen, it is to be genuinely sorry for sin. Genuinely. To hate it more and more. And to run away from it. It's the fight we're in. That's how you're dying to the old. What is the coming to life of the new self? It is wholehearted joy. Think of Jonah. In God through Christ, and a delight to do every kind of good as God wants us to do. You see, where did Jonah fail? You see, a wholehearted joy in God through Christ and a delight to go do what God wanted him to do? Repentance is not some monster that God's throwing on us. It's the greatest blessing he's given us. You get filled with joy to do God's will. Well, what do we do that's good? That which arises out of true faith conforms to God's law, is done for his glory, and not that which is based on what we think is right or on established human tradition. Well, that's wonderful. I get to then go out and I get to in true faith, believing and trusting in the Lord, I get to now do things that conform to his law. I get to, are done for his glory. That's why I live. That's why I exist. I can't get away from a wholehearted joy in God through Christ in the new self, a delight to do every kind of good as God wants us to do. That's repentance and conversion. So there it is. You can see how directly what we confess in our own Heidelberg is right here in the text with these people in Nineveh, isn't it? And I think this is reminding us tonight of what a grace repentance is. I have to say that. With a few words of a prophet from another country who had no authority over them, at least as they saw it, who was an enemy. The Assyrians were terrible people. Had the audacity to walk down their street. Think about that. Would you want to go down to Beijing and do this? Crying out God's going to destroy it in 40 days. Every single odd against him, humanly speaking. Jonah wasn't even seeker friendly, by the way. 40 days, you're done. All of them humbled themselves to such a degree they sat in ashes. Repentance is even a gift. It's a gift. The essence of Israel's failure is that they didn't even think it was important. They didn't even desire it. Jesus could say that the people of Nineveh will rise up against Israel because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And we know, as it was outlined there, the importance of it. What is the most beautiful part of the story tonight? The most encouraging part of the story? What does the Lord desire to give? What does the Lord desire to do? Judge or forgive? Well, I don't know how you could read the story and not come up with as you live in the day of salvation, his desire is to not destroy, but to forgive your sins. Verse 10, when God saw their works that they did, how they turned from their evil way, many of the King James Old translations properly put, God repented of the disaster he said he would do to them, and he did not do it. God didn't change his mind. We know that. God has a decree. God has his will. But this should help you. This is a human way to understand this, isn't it? When we turn to the Lord in repentance and faith, there's a promise. All who believe and repent and believe the gospel will be saved. All who believe in the Son and respond and turn away from their sins and look to him for life, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is what the Lord always said in the Old Testament. As I live, declares the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his evil way and live. Turn back from your evil ways. Listen to this. For why should you die, O house of Israel? Forget that part. This is important for us. That when Jesus, every time we gather, says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke. What does he say? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly heart, and you will find rest for your souls. He's calling you to come. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That means for you. That means for me. We have to take that seriously. And he won't destroy you. He promises you that. All who believe. All who turn to him. He wants you to have peace. The compassion of God is revealed here as he calls these Ninevites to come. You know, is it Obadiah, that's a proclamation against Nineveh. Later, I guess they turned. But this generation of people entered the kingdom. And that is why it's so important when we hear calls that we remember to take seriously the call, to take sin seriously in our lives, and to flee from it, to run away from it. And God wants you to know tonight, he desires to forgive all of your sins. It's not that he's doing this to make life hard on you. He knows that when you run away from him and you do things that are against his will, you're ruining your life. He wants wholehearted joy for you so that you would delight in this life to do everything that is really pleasing to him and satisfying to you. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And I think we're already seeing how wonderful the mercies of the Lord are. May this book of Jonah be a reminder to us as the people of God that we would be a people who in the course of our lives are always turning. I don't know about you, but I look at myself as a believer and I think to myself, I'm still appalled at what I can do in my life as a believer. You all know this. You know what you could do. And that's just why Corinthians says, he who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. We're in constant need of coming back to the Lord and trusting in him and his strength to lead this life. Remembering that anything that we have is all of grace. It always has been. It always will be. Salvation, as Jonah said, is of the Lord. May we always remember that as we think about the story of Jonah. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight that helps us to think about the importance of taking seriously repentance. We understand that this is something you must work in our hearts. It's something that you must accomplish. And that ultimately, we have to believe your gospel promises, having been justified by faith. This life of repentance will follow, of in our lives of turning away from sin, putting to death the old and putting on the new, loving what you love and desiring it, no longer running. Thank you, Father, for this encouragement to us, and then also this reminder of how great your mercies are, that this is what you desire to do and to give to people, that you will not give us of our evil ways. You will forgive us for Christ's sake. And in that confidence tonight, we hear that call to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and believing in all that he has done and accomplished for us, we come, turn away from ourselves, repent of our sins, denying ourselves, we look to him.
You've been listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. Once again, 888-504-8805. Or contact us on the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Connect with us on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station or subscribe to the AG Radio podcast in iTunes or use our free Android app. Thanks for listening. And remember, where sin abounded, grace abounded more.